My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil.
So, overarchingly, that paragraph, what do you hear in it? What do you think the main direction, the main point, main focus is?
Guarding yourself.
Okay. No. Somebody else?
Do not sin.
Okay. To not sin.
Moving forward to the mark.
Jesus,
yeah.
Okay.
Keeping your eye on Jesus.
Okay, so let's go back and let's walk back through it now, look a little more in detail. So somebody go ahead and reread 2021 for us.
My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart.
So we've got a lot of body connections in those two verses. What is that visual imagery helping us to understand? What should we be taking away from the visual components there that he's saying? So what are those components? Maybe we'll start there.
Your ears and your eyes.
Okay.
And your heart.
Okay. Ears, eyes, heart. Right. So when we think through each of those components, each of those parts of our bodies, what do they add for us? What do they help us with? And then let's think about then, how does wisdom with each of those connect?
Without your heart, you're dead. Without your eyes and your ears, you don't go far without some sort of guidance.
Mm-hmm. Good. Daniel.
Yeah, we deal with kids all the time. So there's a verse in Matthew where it says, you know, basically, for out of the outflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So it's like, whoever you are comes out of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
How you feed your heart is with your eyes, with your ears. Eventually, what keeps you from moving you really are.
Good.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
We'll date ourselves. Okay, how many remember singing that growing up in church?
Yes.
Okay, so there we go. About half of us on that.
That was in my little Bible study the other morning. I put, be careful, little.
Uh-huh. But the music wasn't there. I read it, but it just didn't have the little hymn written.
So I just put the musical notes there.
Okay. See, I missed that part. Now it makes more sense. Yeah, the words made sense, but yeah, I didn't get that part. Man, a little slow on that one. Okay. Say again.
The second part of verse 20, where it says, incline your ear to my sayings.
Mm-hmm.
That implies that implies the responsibility of the hearer
right.
to hear the words as well.
Right.
And I equate that to, I watched one of my fellow instructors instruct a student this week out at Camp McCall. And the student heard the words, but did not hear the words. And those are like, there was not active listening. Like, Ben spoke the words, and that student audibly heard the words but did not hear the words in his mind. Like that, you know, there's a difference between hearing and listening,
right.
You know, in the sense that you can hear the words, but what do they mean, and what do they mean to you when you take them in?
Right.
I think David has some of those people too. I'm just a man. Like he was running.
No doubt. It's my wife.
Oh, moving on.
So he's young.
He's young. Where's the uncle when we need
him? I know. Oh my goodness. We'll talk later.
So when we think through, you know, we talk about tensions a lot here at Marine. And when we think about the salvific tension of God's sovereignty and God's responsibility, also within the lordship of Christ, there is the same tension of God's sovereignty within lordship and man's responsibility within lordship. And so that's not just a tension that deals with salvation. It's also dealing with that lordship within our life. I saw somebody else had a hand on that. There's.
I was noticing the progression. So he's talking to his son, and I thought about Isaiah. So when he was first born, like he could hear, couldn't really understand. He began to repeat what he heard. Now he's in K-3, starting to learn to read, beginning to learn for himself with the hope of mastery, being able to apply those things, cherish them within his heart. And if we think about that spiritually, we hear the word, we begin to study the word ourselves, and hide and cherish the word in our hearts.
So in the beginning of 21, let them not escape from your sight. A different translation of a different wording right there, anybody?
Do not let them depart from your eyes.
Depart from your eyes.
Don't lose sight of them.
Don't lose sight of them. So to me, that's painting a natural picture of God's wisdom. Where's it going to go typically?
Well, are you saying like once we get wisdom, we should have it in our heart? Are you referring to the second part of that verse where it says don't let it?
No, it's still the first part there. You know, when we think about God's wisdom within the world that we live, what's typically going to happen to it if we don't keep it from escaping?
In one ear and out the other,
we're going to lose it.
Yeah. We just have to understand, you know, since our sin nature is still with us, we live in this fallen, broken world, Satan is at work around us. Once we get it, keeping it is not like locked down. We have to intentionally lock that down. Yeah, so we got to realize it's naturally going to fleet away from us.
Like a vapor.
Yeah.
It's right. Like an art class growing up, how hard it was to draw something from memory, but then when you have it right in front of you, it's a lot easier to get all the details that you forget just remembering it.
Yeah, I didn't do well at either of those. Stick figures is about my strongest level there. But I could see other people doing that. Yeah. It's not me. Yeah. It didn't matter if it was there in front of me or not in front of me. I drew it about the same level.
I can trace.
Tracing was good. Yeah. Or a ruler, if you give me a ruler. Yeah. Okay, so let's jump up to 22:23. Somebody give us a read.
For they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life.
So he's clearly making a link again that Susan brought up a moment ago. When we think about the wisdom of God, what does it provide?
Life.
Susan?
Life. Peace.
You know, we have to come to that clear understanding that outside of God's wisdom dwelling up within us, we're not going to have life. Now, does that mean that we're dead?
No.
Okay. No, not necessarily. Okay.
You're dead in your heart. You're not dead in your flesh.
Yes. So we might still be breathing and everything like that, you know, but that doesn't mean, you know, that we're alive within God. Now, having said that, if we bring this into the new covenant, into the New Testament, right? How does that happen with a believer? What does that look like for you and me that we do believe, we do have a relationship, but what? What can this look like? What's this warning looking like for you and for me as believers?
Those areas I think that that you might want to justify, you know what I mean? And make, hey, it's okay, you know what I mean? Kind of deal. Even as a believer, you can always justify anything in your mind. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, good. Somebody else, how do we look at this as a believer?
I think that what happens is when you don't, it says here that it health, right? Health. It's not just health of your body, it's health of your spirit. It's
mine.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's, if you're not walking with God, God is after you. And what happens is you have his there's repercussions of it, okay? So if you're not walking with the Lord, then you have consequences that come because you're not walking with him. So say if I, it's set up that way, in other words. It's not that God is just naturally after you, but there's consequences that from the beginning that he set up.
So let's play off of that.
Yeah, let's.
So let's think. let's think about when we have spiritual life and we're living on God's wisdom. All right, give us a one word what that's like, and then give us the opposite of that as a believer. So, you know, within the last week, 2 weeks, you know, you probably had a day where you were like this with God, and then you had a day where you were like this with God.
Peace versus chaos.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Peace,
those are my
chaos.
Words.
Okay, good. Say again, Miss Jan.
Joy versus anxiety.
Joy, anxiety, okay? Mm. Somebody else, what's, you know, when you're having that spiritual health, that spiritual life, you're like, oh.
It's good for you, and it's bad for you.
Good for you.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, to me, you know, it's much easier for me to engage other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's more challenging to engage other
hate.
People. What's that?
Love versus
hate.
Hate.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Whoa.
I would say it's love versus hate. It's more like.
Well, without Christ, do you have love?
Well, no, I'm not. I was speaking for me.
Oh.
I wasn't disagreeing with your concept. No, the concept was good. No, so being, even though people, my wife included, says I'm not introverted, I really am. So so when I'm with Christ, it's much easier to engage people and dialogue mm-hmm. with people, especially surface level conversation. All right, but when I'm not being Christ-like, when I'm not having that life within me, that spiritual life, it's much harder, much more challenging. Dennis, you just had a look.
I'm just keeping mine.
Okay.
I have this problem with this whole war thing right now. Okay, so, and my son's like, Mom, I don't know why you respond to, like, blocks, you know? And he actually, I said this on Wednesday night, I respond to people that, you know, are against Israel. I know, I should... And I don't, right? And so I say things, and then later I regret it, you know? And the Holy Spirit, like, why did you say that? You know what I mean? And that's bad. That's what I'm talking about. The help.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're on high and you have life from Christ, mm-hmm. you don't regret. Opposite of that is you do regret. And then you regret. Yeah. Thank you for the transparency
so
on that one.
There's something that you said, Lee, that I was thinking about because I was trying to apply this to myself. Mm-hmm. 21 and also 23, where it mentions heart in there. And what's interesting about that word heart is it's beyond just heart. It's like so many meanings. It's like your soul, your mind, the seat of your emotions, the seat of your personality, everything. So I thought about it, and it's like, it's true. What you're saying, it's tying all together, is that I was thinking, how do I keep it in my heart? Well, it's also like keeping it in my mind. And how much time am I spending with it, and how much time the word,
right.
and how much time am I spending out of it? And if I spend it, and if I keep it in my mind, and I'm in the word daily, and I'm focusing on the Lord, then a lot of these things will just fall into the place.
Yeah, the word there actually is more akin to like your guts instead of heart, and so. But we understand what that means, so that's why we say heart instead of like guts or innards on that.
Is that also referring to your discernment? Because I know that when I'm not,
well, it's
in
definitely
the word,
connected to it. Yes, okay. Yeah. The ability to discern versus just blindly.
Yeah, just doing what we feel like.
Yeah. All right. So somebody, let's flip over. Oh, well, let's flip over for me. 24:25.
Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you.
Okay, so he's given us two specific actions here, all right? So what's the first action we need to be doing? And it jumps right off of where Sean was a minute ago.
Control your mouth.
Yeah, we need to control our mouth. Why? Why do we need to control mouth?
I think earlier we were saying, hey, the difference is, right? Like, we're between light and darkness, right? We're most important is supposed to be the light, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're not the light, we're the dark, mm-hmm. right? So again, how deep you are in your relationship that day or that whatever is going to show whether or not you're the light or you're the dark.
Yep, good. Somebody else?
Pastor Mike, I think it has a lot to do with you can ruin your testimony real fast by saying things that you that shouldn't be said. Whereas it's going to be a lot harder to do things that ruin your testimony because we don't do those things, but it's... You can lose your testimony real fast by saying things.
Good. Yep.
I think today's time, text. A lot of people text don't ever have phones, so a lot of times we say things just as easy with a mouth. We say with a phone, and you can never get those things back.
Yeah, it's a big danger, Gene.
Good bits will pour out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. I think this is kind of a reverse in my experience maturing as a Christian. Mm-hmm. The first step, I may think it, I may feel it. But I have to keep from saying it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean my heart has changed, mm-hmm. but that is kind of the first step
right.
to the changed heart. Mm-hmm. Just not, I know this is wrong, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
Over time, the heart follows. Mm-hmm.
I wish it was like, sometimes I wish life was like email, where like when I get really mad sometimes, I sit there and I'm like writing this nasty email, like, and then I'm like, hey, sir, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, I wouldn't send that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But like when it's live, it's like out, and I'm like, no, and I can't put it back, you know?
I have a friend.
Yes, thank you.
Because I'm like,
wait, say again, louder.
I say it's also power in the tongue. Mm.
Well, you know, James tells us that the tongue is an unruly evil, right? And so, especially when you, even with the blogging, whether it's typing or verbalizing it, right? You know, the first thing that comes to mind is what we want to say, right? And a lot of times, initially when I looked at that text years ago, I thought that meant like saying something, like saying bad words,
right?
But it's everything, right? So,
yeah, I can say really bad stuff using really good words.
Yeah.
Somebody else, Darius, would you have yours?
Same thing. Okay. And James, yeah. The tongue in the fire,
it's like a rudder.
The world of us, the restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in His likeness. Mm. And that was convicting personally for me this week because. Like you, I can use really good words and really soft tone to say some really nasty things.
Yep. Yeah. So then the second part there, verse 25, what's the action that he is recommending there?
It's keep your eye fixed on Jesus. It's don't let your eyes wander, don't be distracted by the things of the world. Like, we know the prize at the end. Keep your gaze fixed upon it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to look, you know, kingdom of God, you know, advancement, that's the direction. We've got to work on that hard. And that goes back to, Sean, what you were saying, too. You know, what are those things that we can be looking at that are us looking forward? Right? So let's just brainstorm just real quick through that. So what are things in our life that we can look at, and how can we look at those that keeps us aligned moving forward?
What was done for me on the cross.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remembering where I was and where I am.
So just visual imaging that. So you're really not seeing with your eyes, but you're visualizing, you know, Jesus being on the cross and what he went through. Somebody else, what can we look at that is us looking forward?
His promises, right?
Okay. Thinking back through the promises that we have, Old Testament, New Testament promises, that's helping us to look forward, straightforward. Somebody else, what can we be looking at that helps us to be looking forward?
Getting home in heaven.
Yeah. You know, just think about it. This is not our home. Mm-hmm. You know, and not getting attached, you know, to people and places and things here. That if we think about heaven as our home, that's helping us look forward.
Doing things that glorify God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when we're thinking through, okay, what can glorify God in this point? That's helping us have that vision moving forward. Matt?
Yeah. I would say looking at everything around us and things that we have as blessings from Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's giving Him credit. You know, even so it's like with the situation with shoulder. You know, so surgery and everything's gone well, right? I'm naturally going to thank God for that, but reality is medical technology has come a long way, and I think Dr. Lowe is just a really good surgeon. And so the reason my surgery went well and my shoulder feels good could technically just be because he's that good. Think through that. Because if I had pain and it was a tough week, would that mean that God was any less or that God blessed me any less? So we have to be careful when we full on attribute positive things to the blessings of God, because the opposite then is true even though we don't say it.
Right.
So if somebody has a shoulder surgery and it doesn't go as smoothly and they don't have, you know, they have more pain, then they start to second guess, well, I guess God just didn't bless me like he blessed Mike. So we have to be careful on that. I always want to give God credit, but yet I want to give him credit no matter whether it's a good thing or it's in the midst of the storm. I still want to give him credit, you know, on that. Because again, that's helping me move forward and focus forward. All right, so let me finish this off there with 26:27.
Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
So what's the visual picture there that we need to be doing, focusing on?
Thinking about where you're going and like really make a good decisions for your path and where each step, think about it. Is this honoring God? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I on the right path? Is this evil? Is this good? So,
yeah, I think it's definitely pointing to literally where are we headed. You know, I think the visual with the eyes was more, you know, the can't think of the right word, not literal, but
figurative.
What's that?
Figurative.
Yeah, figuratively on that. But to me, when he brings this now in 26 and 27, I really think that he's talking about, you know, where my rubber hits the road.
Right.
You know, where am I literally going? You know, where am I really taking myself? Whereas the eyes in that, the before here is me processing through on the top end. So how do we need to think through that, Nate?
Now, I was going to say, because this is really about practical application, right?
Yes.
I'm pondering. I'm thinking about, okay, I need, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm going, I need to really think, taking the wisdom that I have from that he has poured into me, and then using that wisdom now, right, to make a decision on which direction I need to go. So you're right, where the rubber meets the road, and sometimes that can be a little difficult.
Yes.
To do.
And, you know, what I heard what Nate was saying there, when we have to make decisions about where to go, what job to take, if move somewhere, you know, we want to be in God's will. Now, to me, God's will can really be summed up pretty simply. Don't sin.
Right.
If you want to be in God's will, just don't sin, and you're in his will. Now, whether you take the job, whether you move to a certain location, I think God gives us wisdom to process through those decisions at times to where we don't have to have the destiny of God's will hanging on this job, or move here or move there. I think he allows us to process through with that wisdom, all right, what's going to set me up to be able to glorify God more? You know, what's a better fit for me? What's a better connection with me? And so I don't think it's so much of I have to make this position, you know, or I have to, you know, date this person and marry this person, and if I miss them, then, whew, you know, it'll never be. I think God's wisdom gives us a lot of understanding to work through, because in life choices, there's a lot that is not black and white.
Right.
Now, please hear me. You know, there are decisions that are not sin versus no sin. Now, those decisions, the sin versus no sin, that's easy on that. But, you know, whether you get the red car or the blue car, you know, type of thing there. You know, whether you have your quiet time in the morning or you have your quiet time in the evening, you know, type of thing. You know, there's decisions that we make through that's more about God's wisdom and how it fits with us, how he's wired us, how he's geared us, how can we be good stewards of what he's entrusted us with on that. Sean, you're like really mulling there, something good.
No,
Nope, just thinking through what you're saying.
He's really listening.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm inclining my ear.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He has his eyes on the teacher.
Okay, all right. One more person, closing word. We're a little bit over time, but one more person. Gene, Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. And in those situations where it is 50-50, red card, blue card, right? We pray, sometimes, it's not always a light illuminating the correct answer.
Or right?
We just have to have the truth in our soul. My point is that if we pray about it, and we make that decision, we know we've prayed about it, we can trust that God was in this decision, even though I may not have had that illumination moment, versus not having prayed about it and being unsure and uncertain.
Yeah, because I was going to say, what if you hit the fork on the road, you know, you stop and pray. So.
Somebody close up in a word of prayer, please.
Father God, Lord, thank you for this time of teaching and discussion. I pray that all of us discern, or all of us are more discerning and have more wisdom, and that we incline our ear to you, and that we keep our eyes fixed upon you as we go through our week. Please bring us here. Bring us back here safely, and please bless Pastor as he brings the 1045. Amen.
Great discussion.
Hey, Pastor Mike. So, and so-